Welcome to Managing Safety, brought to you by the Florida Aviation Network, an effort of the National Aviation Safety Foundation and a coalition of local, regional, and national aviation organizations and agencies. This talk show addresses strategies for thinking in today's complex aviation world. Now, here's Tweet Coleman, a former Boeing 727 and 747 pilot with Continental Airlines. She has 22 years working in the FAA and is a published author of Take Your Life Off Autopilot. Tweet received her Doctorate of Aerospace Aviation Education and is currently teaching aviation-related courses and is today's host.
Well, welcome everyone. My name is Tweet Coleman, and I'm one of the hosts for the Florida Aviation Network. We're live and in the clear here in Central Florida Aerospace Academy, and we're in the Aerospace Center of Excellence here at Sun and Fun Complex. And we're here in beautiful Lakeland, Florida, and it's beautiful because it's been sunny all week, nice and warm, very few clouds out there, so it's a perfect time for an air show. So if you haven't visited us, think about coming on down. It's the 49th annual air show for Sun and Fun. Just think of all the events that you have that come and go, but this one actually has been moving ahead for 49 years. And we have an exciting guest with us. He has a very rich and intriguing history on aviation. So happy he's starting us out. And welcome, Greg Kuntz. Thank you for coming.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I can always remember your name. I just look at your hat or your shirt and I'm spot on.
That's how I remember my name, too.
Thank you so much. I think you're one of my first aerobatic instructors, so this will be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
So how many years have you been involved with aerobatic flying?
Well, I started looping and rolling my Piper Cub that they restored my mom's basement in high school, and so I guess that was a start. But then we start calling myself an aerobatic instructor to 1974, when I went to work for Aerosport in St. Augustine and gave me the opportunity to really do it.
Oh, good. What type of airplane did you have in Tana?
Well, we're a Blanca dealer, so they had Citabras and Decathlons. So I started those airplanes right away. Ended up being a Great Lakes biplane dealer, so we instructed that quite a bit. And those were good basic airplanes. Jim Holland came along with his S2 Pits and used it some too. Mm-hmm. He probably did it most of the time, but all those airplanes were available.
What was the pivot point from just regular flying? What was your progress there?
Well, you know, I really never really wanted to just do regular flying. Mm-hmm. You know, my dad took me to an air show when I was 7 years old, and Vivo Howard was there, and I talked to the man. He was just straight up with me, didn't talk to me like I was a little kid, and walked out of that air show telling my dad, I'm going to be an air show pilot when I grow up.
Okay.
So tell you the truth, learning how to fly and getting my rating so I could make a living at it was all a means and a ways to feed myself and have enough money to work my way toward eventually doing air shows. That's what I've always wanted to do.
So basically that one conversation with that aerobatic pilot was the one that encouraged you to continue to do that.
It really taught me what air shows is all about.
Okay.
I mean, he made me feel good. Mm-hmm. He made me want to do that. He made me want to really learn how to fly and go with it. So, that's a very important part of air shows to me.
How did he make you want to do it? What were some of the ways?
Well, you know, it was just the fact, my dad was a pilot, so but I couldn't go with. He was a corporate pilot, which I eventually ended up doing. But, it was kind of hard to reach out to that, to do that kind of thing, but Bebo Howard just kind of turned the corner by treating me like an adult exactly, because I was a 7-year-old kid. But he didn't bend over and talk simple to me either. What happened was he told me about how his airplane came over as cargo. It's a German airplane he flew, and came over as cargo on the Hindenburg.
Oh, wow.
As he tried to tell me what the Hindenburg was, I went, oh, yeah, no, that's a dirigible. It flew back and forth from Germany and crashed in New Jersey. He's like, 7 years old knows this? Really wasn't that smart. My dad had just given me a kid's book about blimps and dirigibles, and I just was kind of fresh on it, but impressed him, and it just gave him, you know, to the point that he talked to me.
Yeah,
he didn't talk down to me or quickly. Uh-huh. He spent time with me. Yeah, that's very important.
Yeah, well, that's really a good takeaway for all of us that want to encourage somebody about flying, isn't it? to take time and all.
Listen to them.
And listen, yeah. Yeah, that's why we have two of those and one of these, right?
Good point. I like that.
Can anybody learn, any pilot learn to be an aerobatic pilot?
I think they should. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to say that because I'm an aerobatic instructor. But really, we tend to learn how to fly airplanes like we drive cars. We're just told to do this, 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 and this, and we operate it. And most people that come to my for my training at my school are just doing that. They're flying their Cessna or whatever the way the instructor told them to do it. And they don't really engage themselves completely in how it works. Yeah. And I call it three-dimensional thinking. Yeah. Because, you know, you get flipped over something, you really don't know what to do. Hey, I haven't ever told what to do about that. Yeah. You know, so my method is to make them really understand the airplane so well that they know what to do. I mean, I have a this is how you do it, but the truth is the foundation is understanding how this airplane really flies. Mm-hmm. You know, it is a two-dimensional world up there. Mm-hmm. And just briefly, looking at all the accidents, I see people who try to roll or something, you know, and too low, and they have an accident. They get confused somewhere in it, and they pull. They go back to wanting 1G in the seat mm-hmm. instead of hanging on the belts or floating because they don't understand that. It's a weird environment to them. Mm-hmm. And so by getting three-dimensional thinking, you're less likely to do that. You're likely to keep the controls right, come on around, and not mm-hmm. crash. It's the same way for unusual attitudes. Mm-hmm. So an unusual attitude recovery is basically aerobatics.
No. What phase, you know, we have a private commercial instrument and so on. So what phase in a pilot's training would you recommend they do some aerobatic training?
It really doesn't hurt to do it any time, as long as you're not interfering with your program. I get people say, well, I'm halfway through my private pilot's license. I want to come take some upset training. You know, they're in a very complicated program that's structured to work them into being a good product and being a pilot at the end. I don't want to mess that up. You know, but as long as they don't do that, I think any time. Okay. Last year, I had a 13-year-old girl come and take aerobatics.
Okay.
Her dad bought her a Cessna 150 and hired a pilot to ride around with her and all she wants to fly. And so they came up and took the aerobatic, and she did a great job.
Oh, excellent.
There was no stress. She couldn't get her private pilot license anytime soon, so they're just flying. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's where her head was. She was just flying, mm-hmm. so she did a great job. That was a lot of fun. But I don't recommend that for everybody.
Now, how many hours is your, when you say your training, how many hours is your basic training?
My basic course, and I have a basic and an advanced. Okay. The basic course covers the four fundamentals, loops, rolls, hammerheads, and spins. And so that's four flights. We do two flights a day, is about as much as anybody can do with aerobatics. So made my house a bed and breakfast, and they just come for 2 days. And by the end of the second day, I got them through loops, rolls, hammerheads, and spins.
All right. So you do a B&B, and then you do flying lessons and stay right there. You have a captive audience, huh?
Well, you know what? I didn't do it that way for years, but we moved way out in the country on our dream place on a runway and all that jazz. And they're going, but now what are we going to do with the people that come here? There's no hotels around here. Mm. I said, well, you know, we'll charge for the rooms. They'll send them off to pay the motel, you know. And so we had, you know, just charge a reasonable fee. And, you know, I like it because people just stay and
talk. We
have dinner. And some of the conversations over dinner are just great. You know, all kinds of interesting people have come through. And everybody's interesting in their own way. Mm-hmm. But some stand out. I've had U-2 pilots, SR-71 pilots. I've had the Navy's F-18 demo pilot come because he wanted to fly civilian airplanes. He knew they were different. You know, so all these very interesting people have come. World War II veterans. I can just go on and on. We've had thousands of people over the years.
Wow, excellent. Now, your basic, then, is those four flights. What would be your advanced training for?
And really, I separate out in the things that would require passing through positive flight and the negative flight. In other words, the negative angle of attack. Mm-hmm. You know, so like a slow roll. You have to fly, basically, a negative lift to do a flat roll. And like half Cubans and mm-hmm. Immelmanns, you stop inverted and have to roll out, things like that.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned the word hammerhead, right? What exactly is that maneuver, hammerhead?
The British call it a stall turn, but you don't ever really stall because a stall really is too high an angle of attack that causes the separation of the air, and et cetera. It's really going straight up. You practically stop and then pivot it over real quick before it does stop and track it back down and back out.
Okay.
Yeah.
So let's walk that through. You do what now?
Yeah, you get whatever speed you want for it.
Yeah, so such as, what would the speed be?
I usually use the common speed for the airplane. I call the sweet speed, which you tend to come back to that speed easily.
Right.
Like in a loop, you'll come back to it so you can do the next maneuver. So say 140 in my plane.
Okay.
Pull vertical.
Uh-huh.
Keep, gotta learn how to look at that wing to control it. And feel for when it's stopping.
Uh-huh.
And you rudder it over. Keep it steady. Bring it back down and try to time it when you pull out, you're at 140.
Oh, wow. That's
a little practice.
Wow, yeah, that sounds real smooth, though. And you have a stick.
Yeah.
That uses a stick. That would be...
Super Decathlon is a stick-controlled airplane.
Yeah, I think that would be easier than the yoke
for
aerobatic.
Yeah, pulling and twisting is awkward. A stick is actually very, very intuitive.
Yes.
People come to me and go, I've never flown a stick. You know, I'm worried about that. I said, don't even think about it. Look outside and do what you're trying to do, and you'll find you'll just use the stick just fine.
Uh-huh. What are some of the other maneuvers? The Cuban 8?
Yeah, Cuban 8.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Decathlon's capable of most maneuvers you'll see.
Uh-huh.
It's not certified to tail slide, but that cuts it out of some things, but not much.
And so then you're under the 91-303. What regulations is aerobatics?
A lot of regulations cover aerobatics because it has to concern with rules like when you need a parachute or where you can do the aerobatics or how high. It's strange. In this country, we don't have a requirement to learn aerobatics. I've been to 17 different countries teaching it.
Oh, really?
And most of those countries, some are very unregulated. Like if you go down to Central America, there's like no rules. And some have to be certified to even do aerobatics way up high.
Okay.
Here, the only certification you need is you're going to fly low-level aerobatics for air shows.
Okay. So that's interesting. So somebody could hire you to go to a country and come out for a couple of weeks and teach aerobatics.
I've done it quite a bit.
Yeah.
Quite a bit.
What are some of your favorite places you've been?
I love South Africa. It was great. Sweden, that's a beautiful country. El Salvador is a... It was interesting to me because we have such a wrong image of people south of our border. There's, I don't know, TV shows or something. We don't have to get into all that. But it's just we have a bad image. Uh-huh. And you go down there and realize they're just lovely people. You know, so I really enjoyed that.
Yeah. Oh, I think that would be interesting. What about the density altitude? How does that work with aerobatic flying?
Well, the thinner the air, the less the airplane has the grab. So then power, then less power. It's, you know, people in Colorado, they use a bigger engine airplane, you know,
to
make up for that. Mm-hmm. Like we build a 210 horsepower Decathlon, and it's real popular in places like New Mexico and Colorado, stuff like that.
Uh-huh. Oh, I think that'd be fun. I looked at one of your YouTube films in 2013 where you did the ribbon cutting and you were inverted. What was that for?
Well, I did that, and I did it yesterday.
Oh, you did?
That's part of my regular act.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
So it's just adds a little pizzazz to it. I love the Decathlon, but I'm not going to try to tell you it's a super high-performance airplane that really zooms up. You know, I'm sure a lot of the people here, if they watch air shows, they know Rob Holland, who's got just a magnificently high-powered, high-performance airplane and can do a lot of cool stuff.
Well, where does he fly?
He flies an MX-2 that's highly modified for an extra big elevator. He can make it just wind like a...
Uh-huh.
I'll go end over end. I mean, some crazy stuff.
Uh-huh.
Anyway.
You were talking about acts. So do you do two acts or one act a show? How does that work?
Well, you know, I started out doing comedy acts.
Uh-huh.
And I've always enjoyed that. And I got into the Decathlon after starting to get successful enough that people had some demand and wanted me to come to their show. I brought back the comedy act. So it's just a J3 Cub where I play a character called Clem Cleaver. And from Alabama, and to show up for my airplane ride that, you know, got this ticket for. And anyway, they end up having to give me this ride so they can go on with the show, get rid of me. And so when I'm getting in the airplane, before the instructor gets in, I hit the starter and accidentally take off by myself. And, yeah, no, it's a big comedy thing. And I flip-flop around. But we end it with, hey, you know, he can put anything on a pickup truck. Take the pickup truck out there. And I end up landing on the pickup truck and driving in. A lot of that stuff's on YouTube, just kind of
Yeah, it's
search my name.
So is that kind of your niche, if you sort of the humorous attitude of aerobatic flying, would you say? Or
yeah, I mean, I loop is the only real aerobatics I do in that act. Mm-hmm. But the comedy act's a very old act that started in the early 30s. A guy named Mike Murphy did things like landing on trucks or putting landing gear on the top of the plane and landing and crazy stuff like that. So it became a kind of a tradition. Mm-hmm. A little break up the tension in an air show with a little bit of comedy.
So what makes an air show act successful, would you say?
Well, don't be like everybody else. Mm-hmm. That's hard because, I mean, you watch the really successful people in it, like Mike Gullion and Sean Tucker. They're flying the standard very high-performance airplanes and a lot of real zoomers and go straight up a long time, and et cetera. And you want to be like them. Mm-hmm. But it's got to be, there's a lot of like thems. Mm-hmm. And, mm-hmm. you know, so you want to have an angle that is interesting to the producers of the air show. A lot of it's kind of what you might be bringing to entertain the younger people or to stimulate their interest in getting into aviation. And mm-hmm. that's got to be a big thing with it.
Yeah, let's talk about that. Do you think that air shows stimulate people into flying?
Well, how did I get started?
Uh-huh.
Talking to Bevo Howard and getting turned on to something I hadn't really thought about doing.
That's true.
It taught me how to treat kids, mm-hmm. and that's what we do. Mm-hmm. They come and they want to ask questions. They get questions, and we spend some time with them.
So after the air show, you always talk to the customers and...
Well, after the comedy act, for instance, we leave the airplane on top of the truck and drive into the crowd.
Oh, you do.
And set up our table and posters, full-size posters, and we'll sit there hours sometimes.
Okay.
And it's mostly young people. They want a picture, and they want to ask me, you know, how do I do this? Or, you know, mm-hmm. how do you get that thing off the truck? That's always the question. And to start the conversation, the thing is, give them a minute. Talk to them, you know? Mm-hmm. And... because they're starting to get that interest.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Very important.
So when you're flying and you're coming in over people, what is the, you know, you think about, what is that altitude? What is the altitude that you fly over spectators?
Well, if you are crossing the spectator line for some reason, yeah, you've got to be at least 500 feet above them.
Okay, 500 feet.
Yeah, and non-aerobatic.
Mm-hmm,
yeah,
mm-hmm.
So we've got to be 500 feet in front of them and in a specified box, you'd call it, mm-hmm. an area to actually do the aerobatics, and then we can do whatever we're certified for.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm. After 49 years of being an aerobatic pilot, that's amazing. It's a whole lifetime. What are some of your challenges whenever you do shows?
My challenges? Well, that's just hard work, you know.
Hard work on your body, or
yeah, and just uh-huh. the time getting there and getting mm-hmm. back, staying safe, doing that, and that. As I age, it's the heat and the mm-hmm. and the amount of work, mm-hmm. and of course, as you get older, you start thinking about maybe there's some other things you want to do with your life. Maybe you want to go see the Grand Canyon or something, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so right now we're phasing out just a little bit, cut down, and mm-hmm. I'm actually discontinued with the comedy act, which I hate giving up, but uh-huh. you can't just sit there and try to do. It's real hard to do two completely different acts in the same show. Nobody else does it that I even know of.
Mm.
And a lot of people ask, why are you doing two? You know, mm-hmm. but I like the comedy act.
Is that your airplane there? Yeah.
That's it. That's doing the comedy. I'm making the plane go sideways right there.
And, do you use smoke, Greg?
Yeah, that's got a smoke system in the front seat, just a little bottle we've got up there. Because during the act, my crew chief, Fred, who plays a character in there, finally tries to get me down by shooting at me with a shotgun. Makes a lot of smoke. No, there's nothing in there but powder and smoke.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
And one of the passes when he does that, I'll drop a tire out like he shot something off the airplane.
Oh,
and,
wow.
Yeah. And then finally I make it smoke, and the announcer goes, well, you know, I think he's going to come down now. And so I end up running the truck out there, and I land on the truck. So.
Oh, and you land on the truck?
Yeah, I land on top of the pickup truck.
Wow, that's impressive. Yeah. And you know,
hard.
It's hard. I bet
it's
it is.
Hard.
One thing that I enjoyed looking at the videos, you're actually talking to the announcer, talking to the spectators.
Yeah, you know, I don't have I don't have a very high performance airplane. It'll tumble and stuff. So how do I make it interesting, you know?
Yeah, that's amazing.
And it gives me an opportunity to introduce the airplane a bit. I'm a sponsor by American Champion Aircraft that build the airplane. I have been sponsored for about 20 years. And it's a great relationship with a great company. And so I want to present the airplane well. So I've been talking over the a bit. I can talk about how easy this maneuver is why this plane does this or that.
Yeah.
And just chat. People
and still fly and listen to air traffic. It's amazing. We're kind of coming to the end of the interview. What would you like to tell our listeners?
Well, you know, air shows are a great way to present aviation to the public. And there's a lot of people out there that we need to get interested in flying. Mm-hmm. We're losing pilots like crazy. And just my little business of air shows, we're losing a lot of performers right now and announcers and et cetera. But the aviation world is just really hungry for mm-hmm. mechanics and pilots. And just inspire people. I'm involved with this Aeronautical Center of Excellence. They're school now.
Right here. Yeah, great.
Yeah, I've been involved with them for a few years now.
Oh, good.
I do a fly-in and raise money for them. And some of their kids as a reward come to me, and I provide them a course for mm-hmm. upset training and stuff.
Oh, excellent.
So do your part, you know. Let's try to inspire.
Great. Well, we'll end on those words. Try to inspire. That inspiration is so important for all of us in all fields. So thank you. Clearly, Greg, you were very inspiring today. And you do a comedy act, and you just, you know, fit that so well. You're such a pleasant gentleman. So thank you very much for being with us today. And until we tweet again, safety first.
We hope you've enjoyed today's Managing Safety, brought to you by the Florida Aviation Network, an effort of the National Aviation Safety Foundation and a coalition of local, regional, and national aviation organizations and agencies. Please visit our studio website to hear past programs.